അവിടെ മാവിശ്വോ And grieves their solitude. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he is the one. This rock is Jesus. The only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. You are ghosts. And grieves their solitude. In times like this, you need the Bible. Is that true?
Yes.
In times like this, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Be very sure. You are ghosts. And grieves their solitude. This rock is Jesus, yes, he is the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. You are ghost and grieves the solitude. Hallelujah. If you have a pain in your body because the healing presence of God is in the church right now, I want to put your hand on that pain. It's going to leave you. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that spirit of infirmity, I rebuke you. I command you to pack your load and go in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad to be here today. I want to share the word of God with you. I want to open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 1994, I was in a workshop fixing my car over there in Scottsdale. I fell into a trance, and the Lord said, if you want the best of God, you will have the best of God. And not long from then, I saw a book written by Daddy Prince. He said, The Best of God. I will take a reading right from this 1 through 2 Peter. I will title my message from verse 11. Verse 11 is the title. It says, Wherefore, the writer, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. Hallelujah. So I will admonish you to listen attentively. If possible, take notes. It will help you. Because this type of teaching will turn your life around. Because some of the scriptures, Peter even quoted them already, concerning the promises of God. Let's look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, to the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. I prefer to call that one love. If these things be in you and abound or overflow, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I know it is not by power, it's not by might, it is by your spirit to communicate the truth to your people. Let your spirit speak. You be the one that will talk to your people, not me, because I'm just a vessel. Father, ask, O Lord, have your way. Let them live here with something tangible, Lord, that will help them as they run the race. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll start from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied. When you hear the word multiplied, you know, those of us who know a little arithmetic, you know it's talking about increase, isn't it? So it means grace will multiply, peace will multiply. How? It's through the knowledge of Him. When you find the knowledge, you go back to the Bible. Amen? If you neglect the Bible, it will not be there. When crisis will come, you'll be running around like chicken without head. Because you don't know your right. You don't know your position in Christ. But when you feed on the Word of God, even when the devil shows up, you say, it's just you. Go and sit down. Because you know who you are. You ignore him and hate that. But when you are fidgeting, running around, you don't know who you are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in you? Jesus Christ. So take time to know the Bible for yourself. Even if there's no Bible study in the church, see, you organize your own Bible study. Know the Bible for yourself. Do you know when you know the Bible? You know the Word of God? The way you pray will change. Your communication with people will change. Your character will change. So we need to know the Bible for oneself. Here it says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. It will overflow. And now, what is grace? Generally, we call it unmerited favor. Let me give you my own definition here from the Greek. Grace means joy, favor, acceptance, a kindness, granted or desire, a benefit, thanks, gratitude, hence grace, or a favor done without expectation of return, absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God to man. Finding its only motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver, and on end, on unmerited favor. What about peace? Peace is rest in contrast to a strife, donating absence or end of strife, or state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Hence, it's called shalom or wholeness. So we need grace, we need peace. And God, he says, is going to multiply unto you through the knowledge of him. Let's see verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all. Everybody say all. All that pertain unto life and the life of godliness through the knowledge of him. So this is why it is required on your own part to go back to the Bible. You hear the word of God in the church, it's good. But do you know, if you don't take notes, that thing will just fly away. That's why it's good to take down some notes. You go back, go through them again. And the Holy Spirit will begin to expatiate on that teaching or that preaching, whatsoever you receive from the church. Now, then in verse 3, it says, according as divine power has given unto us all that pertain unto life. How to live with one's life is in the Bible. How to raise our children is in the Bible. How to live with our neighbor is in the Bible. How to do godly business is in the Bible. There are some people that are difficult to live with, but you know you can still manage them. Because of the peace of God that is in you. If you allow the lifestyle of others or the way others are behaving, it will affect you. You will be depressed. But God has given you grace. He has given you peace. Let that peace begin to overflow every day in the name of Jesus Christ. Because there are some bosses, boss or whatsoever you call them, in the place of work, that are difficult. No matter what you do, oh my, they will not be satisfied. But what do? Just flow in peace. Don't allow the lifestyle of what others are doing to affect your peace. Because that peace is the wholeness of God. You're supposed not to be depressed by whatsoever is going around you. Whatsoever tries coming your way is for your promotion. So don't be depressed. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at divine nature. Partner. Companion. To share fellowship with partnership in anything communicative or fellowship. Therefore, divine nature means to germinate, to sprout, produce, and grow up. God wants you to germinate. God wants you to conform to His image. God wants you to be like Him. God wants you to change from glory to glory. And this can only be done through meditating on the Word of God day and night. If you neglect meditating on the Word of God, you see, you will not grow fast. God wants you to grow to become a spiritual giant. It's not only the pastor that can do the things Christians need to do. It's for every one of us. Amen? God is not looking for bench warmers anymore. The time has come. Jesus Christ is about to come, but we need to rise up as soldiers. We need to move forward, not waiting for somebody to take the step before you take the step. You take the step, the Lord will begin to show up. Hallelujah. So God wants you to sprout. God wants you to germinate. God wants you to be like Him. No wonder John said, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him even as He is. He that had His hope in Him purified Himself even as He's pure. That should be your heart desire. That should be your goal. Hallelujah. Now, let's try and see some things here. This thing's covering my timepiece. Now that verse 3, it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and the life of godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, remember when God created man, man was like God. He was wrapped with God's glory. Amen? Adam was like God, like father, like son. Adam could say something and say, oh, you are giraffe. You are donkey. That is how God will take it. Now, for Adam to travel from one place to another, he doesn't need an aeroplane or helicopter. If you want to be in New York, you'll find yourself in New York. He will wrapped to that glory until sin came. And that is why we find ourselves in the situation we are in the world today. All have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. But do you know Jesus has restored back the glory back to the church? And we are being changed from one dimension to another dimension. What they call metamorpho or metamorphosis. You've been changed. I remember when I was a young Christian, a little thing can irritate me. But now, when I used to work with inmates, they say, I wonder how you are doing it. The way they are behaving here, the way they talk to you, don't respond. See, God was training me. Do you know, if you are growing up, old things, you put them aside. Now, this is another message. A crucified Christian is different from a churchgoer. A crucified Christian. I want you to picture in your mind. Someone who is dead, can he lost? Someone who is dead, can he bite? Someone who is dead, can he fight? Can he lose his temper? Or probably when he's in the casket, And people come and view Uncle Benjamin. Sunday they wake up, oh, what a beautiful lady. Is it possible? Why not? He's dead. Let your old man remain dead. Don't resurrect your old man. Because there are people in your life who will help you to resurrect your old man. But your old man is dead. If you want to turn from glory to glory, practice the word of God. Amen. I like that. preach on, Pastor Augustine. See? Now remember when Jesus Christ resurrected, he did not go to JCPenney and buy some dozen clothes. He was wrapped with glory, isn't it? You see, when God will finish with us, we are not going to go and purchase some nice white garment. And the Bible says that white garment is the linen, the white linen is the righteousness of the saints. And the Lord is changing us already. Then he talks about virtue. Or they call it Christian energy in Amplified Translation. Now, what we are enjoying here in our place is cool. It's because of the virtue is coming from Palo Verde. You see, this light is from Palo Verde. You see the mic I'm using? It is because of the energy from there. We are tapping from the source. We cannot just put Palo Verde here to blow up the place. Isn't it? Jesus Christ is more than Palo Verde. And we are tapping from that source, which is forever. The source, government cannot stop. And now, see, when God is walking and is moving you, see, that virtue begin to flow out of you. I remember a gentleman called me a few weeks ago. He said, where do you hold your church? Remember, you prayed general prayer over there in the rescue mission. I used to have problem with my shoulder. I was thinking of surgery. Say, can I come to the church? He brought back the daddy. The daddy was healed of the same problem too. See, this should be our lifestyle. It's not all just for the pastor, evangelist. Every one of us. See, trust God. Believe God. Continue to act on the word of God. Let me quickly say this. I remember I was in 1976, 77. I was practicing how to raise the dead. Don't be afraid to raise the dead. My mama brought a dead dog from the market. Because she said chicken dog, what do you call it, all this pigeon and so on and so forth. I took the dead dog, I prayed over it. The thing did not come back to life. I was not discouraged. What was I doing? I was practicing. Amen? 1077, I raised the first dead baby back to life by the grace of God. Now, it's not me, it's Jesus Christ. The Lord wanted to exercise your faith. Don't tell until I start feeling something, then I will go into action. Until the heavy anointing will come, then I will start going out. No, start now. Then the anointing will begin to increase and increase and increase. Remember, Jesus Christ was among the multitude going to Jairus' house. And then the woman with issue of blood came because she heard something about Jesus and she did not stop there. What happened? She said to herself, if that I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And that is what happened. She pressed through the press or the multitude. And when she touched Jesus Christ, something happened. And Jesus Christ said, who touched me? They said, are you so multitude thronging? You say, who touched you? He said, somebody touched me. See, that touch was different from others who were inquisitive. Some say, I want to see the son of Mary. Oh, he's so good. See, somewhere just inquisitive, just to see Jesus. But this woman was there for action. And when she touched, and something happened, virtue. See, that energy will come out. It's not you, it's Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 33, I believe. It said, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with something. And with power. He went all about doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil. You receive your Holy Ghost. It's not to fight with your husband. Not to force with one another. The Holy Ghost is a powerhouse. and you are a generator. Go forth and prosper in the name of Jesus. Let me hurry. Now here in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might become a partaker or a sharer of God's divine nature. Now, he used the word promises there. Why promises? Remember, God is not a politician. Politicians, when it's time for them to cast a vote or to vote for election, they will start telling you lies on the television. I wonder why people, they don't really see what they are talking about, that they are lying. And after you vote them to the office, you don't see their brake lights anymore. See, God is not trying to tell you to believe him. What he says there is true. The promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, remember Isaiah 54. He said, your children shall be taught of the Lord. Great will be their peace. That is a promise. Lay hold on it. Pray it over your children. Great will be their peace. For God is their teacher. And again he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Any tongue that riseth up against you in judgment you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness of me says the Lord. I remember this man of God over there, San Antonio, Texas, in 1984. He said a man came to the church looking for his own wife, to kill his own wife. That man wanted to kill his own wife. I don't know what was their problem. So, unfortunately, instead of looking for the wife, he had to turn the gun on Pastor Hagin. And he said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. He released, he emptied all the bullets, nothing happened to him. It's not that it was prearranged. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God will not come back to him void. If you are a believer, be a good believer. Don't take, don't sit on the fence. If this one not work, this one will work. No, that is not the time to practice that kind of life, Christianity. I've been living for Jesus Christ since like 1975. I have no cause of going back. Why? He's training me, he's changing me. Okay. I just realized that it's not that I'm growing young, I'm growing old. This year I'll be 58, but I don't look like 58. I can still play soccer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, the promises. Let's, Matthew 28. See the last verse there. The Lord said, lo, I am with you once in a while. What did he say?
Always.
Always is always. Then why do we behave contrary to that promise? When you are going to California, oh Lord God, be with me in this journey. You know, if he was not with you in the beginning, he's not going to be with you in that journey. Why not thank God, Lord, I thank you for you are always with me. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? See, God wants us to change and keep changing until we are like him. Give yourself no rest. Hallelujah. If you see any weakness in your life, see, don't just overlook it. Say, God understands. Do something about it. That weakness will leave. If you discover something that is contrary to the scripture in your life, look for the scriptures concerning that. I begin to pray it. That thing will change. Amen? Let me hurry. God, time is not in my favor. Now, we're still talking about promises. Now, what will promises do for us? It will build faith, to build absolute trust towards your heavenly Father. It will build boldness. It will build confidence. So you need the promises. Don't neglect the promises. Oh, that reminds me. Let me read the scripture to you. This is what God said here to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7. Are you still here? I want to see something here. Verse 16 down to 18. But let me skip some. See verse 17. So wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is God talking. This is not Apostle Paul. You are a son, you are a daughter of God. Then see, verse 1 of chapter 7. It's a continuous sentence. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all fittingness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Lord said he will walk in you, according to verse 16 there. And Acts chapter 17, there it says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. So the promises of God will turn your life around. If you were the type who used to fear darkness, I remember when we were young, we don't go through cemetery area in the night. Have you discovered some people, if you build their house very close to the cemetery, when you are going to that area, you have to run because you are afraid? For years, in my neighborhood, I would take out my timbre and begin to praise God and praise God, prophesy with my timbre, then start quoting Psalms. I was not afraid. And at times, I would praise God till about one or two, then I would go inside. The one day, the light came from heaven and dropped very close to my shoulder. And at times I used to challenge witches and wizards. Where did that boldness come from? From God. Because God says, he will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always with me. Let me hurry. Back again to 2 Peter. Now I want you to see verse 4. You are a partaker of his divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust brought corruption upon mankind. We've escaped it and will remain escaped by practicing the word of God. Verse 5. And beside this, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You keep building on it. Now, like today now, you are hearing from Pastor Augustine. You go back and build on what you are hearing. Make research on your own. And as you are doing that, God will begin to increase it. And you set the scriptures to the Lord will give you a lot of revelations. Let me give you some that the Lord has been using to protect me. At any time I go against them, I don't need to trouble. Proverbs 3, verse 5, 6, and 7. He said, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledging it shall direct your path. The other one is Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, but I do always those things that please him. Not once in a while. Always. Always is always. It was 1984 that the Lord gave me that scripture. Ever since then I've been building on that, standing on that scripture. Because Jesus Christ is the ultimate example for all believers. And he expects us to emulate him, to copy him. So do always the things that please your heavenly Father. And be diligent in it. Let me hurry. Then see verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance, practice self-control. Over here in America, people don't practice self-control when it comes to credit card. It's a loan. It's not your money. Because there's 10,000 in this card, you go to the market more and begin to shop and shop and shop. But something's wrong with that picture. You are a slave to the person who is loaning you the money. Amen? You still like me so far? Now, apart from credit card, what about food? I need to talk about that one. There's a lot of food in America. Because it's so much, does it mean you have to interpret it? Put an end to that appetite. Now, I came into this country size 30. I'm still 30. Do you know I can blow up myself going to all those, what do you call, drive-through restaurant? Huh? Burger King? When I came newly, the first few weeks, I was eating nearly everything. And the Lord said, watch what you eat. Are you still here? Control your appetite. You don't need someone to lay hands on you for concerning that. Amen? You still like me now? Now, practice self-control in the area of anger. Anger is good. You can use it wisely. Don't allow anger to ruin your life. Amen? Speak. When you are angry, don't say nothing. I'm a married man. You know what I'm talking about. At times, wives, they know how to press the button. When they press that button, don't respond to no button. Don't say nothing. Because when the fire is on the mat, you say something, there will be more fire. So why not just say nothing? Amen? Control your anger. And what else? There are a lot of things that are attractive in the society. You should know where you should go. And that reminds me, I've seen some brethren's sons in a nightclub. Oh, you were inside there? No. I have my limo. I'm waiting outside. Behold, my goodness. I won't mention their names. Please, instruct your children properly. What do you get from my club? Is it for Bible studies? Just go there to get a girlfriend. Any wife you get from the nightclub, you are going to lose that girlfriend to a nightclub. You still like me so far? Get wife from the church. Amen. We're talking about self-control. Then, to self-control or practice patience. We need to be patient. If you are not patient, you will not be able to raise your children. Endurance, forbearance. Then to patience, godliness, godlike. God wants you to be like Him in all ramifications. Then to godliness, it's a brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Let me use the word agape. Unconditional love. When the people hear the word love, what comes to their mind is relationship with a woman. That is not what it's talking about. But if agape is in your marriage, that marriage will be strong and will be a living example to others. Amen? But I've seen, we young men, we are carried away by infatuation, love at first sight. Oh, when you see a gorgeous lady, oh my, this is the way I'm going to marry. Have you lived with her yet? I admonish people to look for good conduct. Galatians chapter 5, where the Lord speaks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and so on and so forth. That is what you should look for. It's for conduct. It's for holiness. That is what you should look for. Not the outward appearance. That outward appearance can fade. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, apart from love, say, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things we'll be trying to study now. I'm just rushing through them. If they are there, you will not be barren. You will not be unfruitful. You are going to overflow in the things of God. Hallelujah. Now, but he said, he that lack these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If we are purged from our old sins, we need to put on Christ. Let me conclude with this one. This is Colossians. It's what Paul says here in Colossians. Now in Colossians chapter 3, I want to see verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Put to death. Now, you know how to do that. Now, for someone to live a crucified life, you have to control some things about your life. Take for example, your tongue want to say something bad about somebody. Why not shut up your mouth? Or your body want to go to a particular place. You stop it. If you want to hear thunder from heaven before you stop, you are not really practicing the word of God. Then see verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. It appears in the university, what they go there to learn is just foul language. And the professors too are trying to take godliness out of them. Because I come in contact with them. I've seen some who said they are born again. They go to nightclub. One in particular picked him up about 3 times. He said his father is a pastor. That his mother is his father. He goes to nightclub. To do what? At the end he will be drunk. If I describe him, you will know him. What he used to do in ASU. I won't go there. But now what am I talking about? See, we have to put off all these anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't talk such languages. It's not good. You are polluting yourself. Do not lie to one another. You have put off the old man with his deeds. We have put off the old man with his deeds. We are new people. If anyone be in Christ, it's a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. Then see verse 10. And have put on the new man. When you put off something, you put on something. Now, I'm putting on my shirt today. I decided not to put on the jacket. Since it's not on, it's not on. So you can put off something that is contrary to the word of God. And don't go back to it. Amen? And put on Jesus. It is possible to start imitating Jesus. Have intimacy with him all the time. Commune with him. Talk to him. Seek his face. Very soon people will start seeing Jesus in you. See verse 12. He said, therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or perfection. What we put off, we don't put on. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. Blessed be thy name. Glory be unto you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us to stand. We want to be continually a partaker of God's divine nature. That nature is already working inside of you. The Lord is already working. I saw a sister, and here is from this congregation, a black American with long hair, working in the hospital, were pushing all those something that they use in dispensing medicine. And I saw the light of God just like this, like a circle moving in the front of the sister. I don't know who is that sister. But the image I saw, that's what I'm describing now. You that is working in hospital, let your light shine. And let that light flow out of you into those sick people. And they will receive healing. We know there are laws and rules in the places, but you can still allow the presence of God to invade that place. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your children. Thank you for your word. It will not come back to you void. Your word says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the force of your glory, of your kingdom, invade our lives, invade our homes, invade our businesses, invade our children's life. Oh God, let your kingdom reign supreme in our lives. Because you are the Lord of lords, you are the Alpha, and you are the Omega. Have your way in our lives, oh God. I thank you for this, your children. Thank you for your hand that is upon them. Thank you for that you've done through them. Thank you for that you are doing now in their lives. Thank you, Father, for raising them as your army, entire army. Lord, let your fire rest upon them. Let your fire envelop them. Let your fire come out from their lips. Let your fire flow through their hands. Lord, to others, O God, and let them carry fire all over the place. You brought them to America to evangelize. You brought them to America to reign supreme in this place. Lord, to bring down the kingdom of darkness. As we come with the gospel, that is how others have come. They came from other nations with their idols, with their religion. With the throne, all those evil religion. With the throne, witchcraft. With the throne, Lord, all others they are bringing. Because this is Babylon. Just like Babylon of old. They inherited all other things. Father, we refuse it in this country. We ask the fire revival. Boom! 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 Beginning with me, with my brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.